Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. We are bringing you today an interview with Linda of It's a Crime. She has a YouTube channel that has taken off, and I think it's a pretty good conversation. I hope you enjoy it. So today we have a special guest here on Crime Talk, and it is Linda of It's a Crime on YouTube. So first of all, thank you for joining us, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. I've had so many subscribers that have said you have to get Linda on, So I went and looked at your page and watched your videos and enjoyed them. So I thought she's... seems like the real deal. Why don't you give me just a quick bio of yourself, how you got into enjoying true crime, so to speak, and what made you decide to start a channel?
Oh, well, I have been basically a true crime fanatic since I was really young. The first case actually that I ever followed was the O.J. Simpson case. And that was what, back in 93, 94. I was a teenager then. And that was long before, you know, there's discussion groups and even internet. I think the internet just kind of started a little bit after that. So I followed it through news and I would chat about it with my dad. And I just really got into it. And even from a little girl, I just always was all about justice and sticking up for the little guy and that kind of thing. So fast forward, actually, I was going to go to law school. I wanted to be a prosecutor.
All right. Well, nothing wrong with that. We need them. I was a prosecutor
for a brief time. So life happened. I didn't go to law school. And I mean, fast forward, I got into a different career. And then fast forward, here I am. In December, November, I created the channel. I didn't really do anything with it. December, I followed the Heidi Broussard case, and it really just stuck out to me. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put up a video. Let's just put it up and see what happens. And wasn't really expecting a whole lot, but right away people were enjoying my videos, and here I am.
Congratulations on all your success. I mean, I think you were, I don't know what, 56,000, I guess now is where you are in a rather short amount of time, which is very, very impressive. And we just went over our 100,000 mark.
I know. I was just going to say, congratulations on your 100K. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. But we didn't do it as quickly as you. So I need to figure out what you put in your secret sauce here to build your subscribers even faster. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, a lot of people, you know, probably seen the Netflix series. I think it was Netflix that did kind of the story about it. But a lot of people just don't remember. I mean, it was a long time ago. I remember I was in law school, and, you know, this trial should have taken 2 weeks at most, all right? People don't recall. That trial took a year.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in law school, and they covered it on the radio from start to finish. So anytime I was in the car, I was listening to the O.J. Simpson trial.
I remember that.
Thinking, oh my gosh, what is going to happen next? And I know a lot of people didn't like the verdict. I mean, a lot of people have opinions, but it only matters as to what was proven or wasn't proven. But the prosecutors blew that case. I mean, we've talked about it on my show before. They over-tried the case. Bottom line.
Bugger, hey?
Yeah, it was crazy, so...
Yeah, that was the one of the first ones I remember. Like I said, I was a teenager right before I wanted to go to law school. And then after that was the Lacey Peterson case. So I just was enthralled with everything. I loved the details. I wanted to know who did what. And you could probably see that if you did watch some of my videos, like you said, just diving into some of the things and taking the pieces from the affidavit, and I rip it apart and look at, you know, things from different angles. But
no, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's the way the system works. And, you know, fortunately, we have a system where we can get access, you know, to that information. I mean, part of the issue going on right now, I just got off of a call, you know, we have a court system here which is supposed to be open to the public. Well, we have a Supreme Court justice that decided there will be no jury trials until June 2nd. Well, right. I have a client that's entitled to a speedy trial. Not my fault, Judge. Figure it out. Public health emergency or not. I mean, we don't shut the courts down, you know, every season. And I get it. Things are, you know, I think they didn't know what they were dealing with. But at a certain point, we got to do this thing. I mean, we can't keep people in custody indefinitely until it's completely safe. There's nothing safe about life whatsoever. I mean,
And isn't that funny? Because isn't it in the Lori Vallow Daybell case where the lawyers are saying, listen, we have to go through all these extra measures to get her the paperwork, and this is just not fair. This is from what I was understanding that's going on. So you have on one extreme going, okay, no, let's get this done. And on the other extreme going, no, no, no. Like, you know.
You know, there's always a fine line.
Yeah.
In times like this, I think people will learn to streamline and get rid of unnecessary and frivolous rules. You know, right now we can't get into one of the detention centers nearby, but you have to be able to basically schedule a week in advance for your 30-minute call for your client in custody. That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, this technology is not that complex. If we know that we're going to be talking with our attorney, let's set up a video call and do it. You know, is it nice to be able to sit across the table from a client and say, here, take a look at this, take a look at this? Yes, but if they have a copy of that in front of them, you could do it via, you know, there's, I mean, it's always better to be in person. I truly believe that. But at a certain point, things are going to have to get back to a normal as they can be. The judge today was like, well, I can't even, there's social distancing rules. I can't have more than 50 people in the jury selection room to go up to the courtroom. Once again, it's like, well, I guess we better get a bigger building, Judge. You all are the ones that didn't want to stay in this beautiful historic building. Now we have to go to this, you know, this cookie cutter courthouse where all the courtrooms are the same size. They're smaller. Like, it's not my problem, Judge. Figure it out. But my client has rights, and you don't get to put them on hold because it's inconvenient for you.
Right.
So I don't think, you know, Lori Vallow is going on, I think, as we speak, the bond reduction hearing. I don't think that she'll be granted that reduction. I could be wrong. I guess we'll see.
I agree with you. I don't think so either. I'll be very surprised if that happens. And a little bit of hope and prayer that it doesn't.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Lori Vallow case so far? I mean, I just find it is absolutely intriguing just because not so much that, you know, the kids are there, which is obviously – kids aren't there, which is obviously bad. But the mere number of people that just are dropping like flies around this woman. I mean, something's not right here.
I was just creating a video today before we got on together. And I thought to myself, had Larry and Kay not found out, like, had they not found out where she lived through that Amazon account and whatnot, how long would it have gone on that the kid, that people didn't even know, like, the kids are missing, right? And also, I think had the kids not been missing, Lori could have gotten away with a whole lot. And now they're piecing everything together, and it's starting to look like a whole lot of trouble for the newlyweds, let's just say.
Yeah, I think the honeymoon is over.
The honeymoon is well over, and I don't think Lori's going to be too happy about Chad living in the same home that Tammy, that he shared with Tammy, because it's my understanding he's back there. I think that's one of the things I kind of expose on my channel is patterns. I see patterns. And the more I dive in, the more interesting it gets, because you see these little patterns, not just of they all get married together, they all move together, but little patterns like I brought up last week, I believe it was, in a video where every time the authority would do something, let's say do the search warrant for the Life Academy that JJ used to go to, she would log into the app. And then it, like, within a couple of days that started, but then it would be like, Larry and Kay do a $20,000 reward. She logs into the app and it's almost instantly or the next day. And you just see these little patterns. And as I start to dig, you start to see, oh, that's what she's like, or that's what he tends to do. And it's just, it's fascinating. It is fascinating. I don't know, and I'd love to hear your opinion on it, but I don't know about the children because I teeter. In one hand, I go, maybe there's hope, like just something weird that they're just hiding out somewhere, and that's why there's not a huge big rush. And then on the other hand, it's like, come on, she's talking about zombies and everybody going dark and blah, blah, blah. But she does sit there with her little smirk on her face. And I do have a question about that in a minute, but her smirk on her face, like she has some sort of power. She knows what's going on and everybody's being ridiculous. So that's my thought.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I completely agree with you when you kind of look at the patterns of, you know, husband died. You know, I mean.
Oh, that one too.
You know, just, lots of patterns there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like she's always kind of stepping up to what she thinks is the next best thing, so to speak, or at least at the time. You know, you got to admit, she seems like a survivor. But the whole children thing, I mean, you hope that there's somebody there. But, you know, common sense makes me tend to think something bad has happened. And I hope I'm wrong on that.
Yeah.
But from a legal standpoint, I think it's going to get interesting because obviously the burden is on the prosecution. They have to prove each and every element of the charge beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
If I was her attorney, I would simply, you know, file a motion in limine and say, Judge, as you know, you cannot comment on my client's silence in any way.
Right.
The DAs will probably say, well, that's consciousness of guilt. And the jury's going to be saying, well, where are the kids? Why don't you just produce them? But I think a good defense attorney is going to be like, well, detective, did you check here? Did you check with these people?
Right.
Have you checked here? Maybe they ran away together. I mean, you know, maybe one did. I mean, who knows? Maybe she has this story. It's just going to be like, how's the prosecutor going to disprove it? Because normally, you know, the crime is that you did something. Here, it's you failed to do something, i.e. produce the kids, care for them. And the prosecution has to say to do it just because they're not there. Like, how do they prove it? You know, obviously there's no murder charge because we've talked about this before. There's no body. And
Right. Yes,
you can prove a case. We saw that in the Patrick Frazee case where they proved it with no body because they had a witness who said, yep, I saw everything being burned. I was there. And the jury believed that. Most prosecutors don't prosecute cases without a body. Right. And
that's why we don't
have charges in this particular case just yet. You know,
but it's crashing down. Like, don't you think – like with things are coming up with Chad and it's starting to be a whole lot of trouble. Like he has to be sweating. He has to be sweating a little bit at this point.
Well, he has to be sweating. I mean, I think his biggest concern is the fact that
money.
They exhumed the body of Tammy and they were going to do an autopsy because one was never done. And I just think it's hard to believe. Well, I'll be curious to see what they're actually able to do, if there was some sort of poison, if anything still remains. They may not be able to prove anything.
Right. Yeah, it's hard.
But he, too, has an absolute right against self-incrimination. And any attorney worth his salt is going to say, he's not testifying anywhere. And they can say, oh, there's no privilege, doesn't apply, spousal immunity, make him testify. But then he still has exposure as potentially an accessory. Did he do something that helped, you know, kind of an obstruction of justice type of thing?
Right.
So he's got exposure there. So they'd have to give him immunity to get him to actually talk and say your Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination no longer exists. And I just, I don't see the prosecutor going that far to get her. And prosecutors don't usually give immunity unless they know what someone is going to say.
Right. That's the other issue.
We saw that in the Chief Gallagher case. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that was the Navy SEAL who was accused of an enemy combatant. And at his trial, his court-martial in San Diego, they had given immunity to somebody, and he got up and said, oh, yeah, he didn't kill the combatant. I did. And they promptly found him, you know, not guilty. So, you know, if they give him immunity without knowing what he says, he can get up there and be like, yeah, I did it. And you can't use it against me. They couldn't
Chad, if you're listening, don't listen to this right now.
You know, so I don't think it's going to necessarily be a biggest slam dunk. I mean, I think the court of public opinion has said, you need to produce your damn kids. Bottom line, that's what most people would
do. They even made cupcakes with it. Where are the kids?
And think about it. I mean, I'm a father. If my kid was missing, I would drop everything I was doing.
Yeah.
And what can I do to hunt and find them down? I would have been the first one contacting the police. And that's the best thing I think the prosecutors have going for them is the fact that she didn't contact the police on her own. She lied.
She didn't get married.
You know, that we have admissions that she lied, you know, based upon the, was it the cousin or the niece, I think, that said, you know, they called her friend and said, hey, tell them the kids are with you.
Oh, yeah, Melanie Gibb, yes, the friend. Yeah.
Yes, the friend. And, I mean, that's huge in and of itself. Like, why would you lie about that unless something bad has happened?
And I think a lot of people are really, really torn up about exactly what you're saying. And the fact that, you know, before the move to Rexburg, you have JJ, who had a service dog, is in a really great school that caters to his needs. You know, Charles just doing the best he can for the whole family before he died. And then all of a sudden, you know, for anybody, it would be stressful to do a move, but the father, you know, Charles gets shot and killed. That's a whole bunch of lies surrounding that. Lori's laughing in the afternoon like it was no big deal and having a pool party. They go, they move to Rexburg. Dog is gone now for JJ. Now JJ's chucked into a school. Who knows if she even told them that, hey, you know, they're going to know he has some certain needs, but we don't know if he actually has a specialized plan. So I think people who are watching this going, what? You know, now the medication, that's kind of, you know, I'm not too sure about that. Lori had a pill bottle from January that was prescribed. No one knows if she actually weaned him off early or he was still on it. You know, there's just these little things. So I think as parents or people in general going, I think that's why they think the kids are gone is because all these were taken away. You know, now they're adjusting to a new life. She doesn't say squat to anybody that she's going to Rexburg, except Alex goes for the ride and Melanie Pawlowski goes for the ride. So I think that's what they just think. I think all these things happening and her just stripping away everything from her kids and then lying about them being gone and acting like nothing's wrong and playing a ukulele in Hawaii, you know, people are angry. And, well, you know, it doesn't look good that way.
Yeah, and I think the service dog is huge. I mean, this is a service dog there to help your autistic child and say, oh, we need to give it back. I mean, that's kind of like Chris Watts calling and saying, oh, yeah, we need to cancel the daycare because, you know, we're moving. It's like all of a sudden now you've just, in the Chris Watts case, he kills his two children. And yet he's worried about what, spending a few bucks? I better call and cancel school?
Yeah, that morning the kids are no longer coming to school.
Yeah. Like, oh? Oh, really? Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you know? It just, you know, people try to, you know, think about and plan the perfect crime, so to speak. And, you know, for the most part, these people are amateurs and they just don't get it. They don't understand all the resources available, to the government, and people are going to come forward. I mean, the truth always comes out. It really does.
Thank you for that. I say that too. It might take a long time, but somehow, some way, I mean, there's cases even now with DNA. They're 60 years later, they're solving crimes.
Yeah, we just had one, a crime that was solved through genetic familial DNA testing from, I think, 1963, it was solved.
Right.
You know, they believe that the person who did it is probably deceased, but they can't confirm that. So the truth will come out. It just usually takes some time. And, you know, I have to tell that to clients all the time. You might as well tell me what's going on, because between now or when we go to trial or somewhere in between, the truth or a pretty close version of it is going to come out. And,
yeah.
You know, whether I need to get you the best deal I can or do we have something to work with, the truth is going to come out. It really does.
And when you were speaking to about, if Lori stays quiet or that kind of thing, what is your opinion or how does it work down in the States when there is, you know, somebody sitting in the courtroom like Lori and her demeanor is just kind of like a little off? Does the judge actually look at that and how her behaviors? Because let me just say just a little tidbit. I was in a courtroom years ago with my ex-husband, and I just remember getting a little teary-eyed, and the judge cut it down right away. It was just literally welling up, and I'm trying to speak because he's asking me questions. And he said, "Listen here, you're not going to cry in the courtroom today," you know, and he shut me down. So my question is, what? Look at her demeanor in Hawaii and in, you know, Rexburg, Idaho. And I was so shocked that that wasn't addressed. But again, I'm in Canada. I don't know, when it comes to that. I'm just curious, really.
You know, her demeanor, you know, in a pretrial proceeding like that, you know, she could do whatever you want. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to how does she act in front of a jury? Because jurors are constantly looking at a defendant. When the evidence is being presented, usually, you know, a key witness, the jurors will look over and see how the defendant is reacting. You know, and sometimes it's emotional. But for the most part, and, you know, a lot of people don't get this, there's not supposed to be a lot of emotion in court. It plays well on TV, but that's not reality. All right?
Right.
If somebody can't control themselves, usually the judge, like in your situation, will take a moment, because that's that can be prejudicial to either side. And the judge has one responsibility at the end of the day to make sure both sides got a fair trial. And
right.
There will be emotional circumstances. But for the most part, I mean, that's the thing that separates, you know, civilized society. We can go get a pitchfork and, you know, march to the house and we're going to burn them at the stake. Or we can do it the civilized way and say, all right, let's have a trial. Let's have due process. Let's take the emotion out of it and look at the
smirks
facts.
Included. Smirks included.
Well, and that's the thing. The smirks, she can do that, but that's going to be her own, you know, detriment.
Yeah.
Like I said, at a jury trial, I'm sure the defense attorney will, if it's whether it's Mr. Means or somebody else, will tell her how to conduct herself in front of that jury.
Hopefully he doesn't.
It doesn't matter so much other than in the court of a public opinion right now.
Yeah.
Vallow is, there's always that one defendant that shows up on the docket that just thinks that they're smarter than everyone else. And
like Lakeisha Stoke.
You know, and they just think that they're smarter than everybody else. They've been able to always talk themselves out of a situation every time,
yeah.
And they've gotten away with it. So they figure, what's the problem now? And they'll just keep trying to do it. And, you know, we shall see as it relates to Ms. Vallow and her courtroom demeanor. I think that she's going to remain in custody. Like I said, we'll see if I'm correct by the end of the day. And if it actually goes to trial, that she will sit there very stoically, maybe a little tear, you know, can roll down, you know, at the appropriate time when they talk about her missing children, because she's just as distraught as everyone else is. But yeah, emotion is not something for the courtroom. I mean, it's great.
I agree.
You know, I personally love it on a great cross-examination when you're just kind of beating the witness down. You're on a roll. Yeah. You're barreling. And it's just everything's flowing. You don't have any notes in front of you, and you know you've got the witness completely pinned down in a trap. That's exciting. Jurors love that. For the most part, though, it's pretty bland. You know, they call the officer. What were you doing that day? I was called and dispatched to a scene. What happened next? Upon arrival, I did this. Did you see anybody leave? No. And they bring people. Yeah. It's very, you know, it's not like it is on TV at all. It's just not that way. And it's not like the movies.
Except you know? Possibly for this now with Lori. That must be a little exciting for them in certain ways. Because this is, have you seen anything like this ever in your 25 years you've been doing this, right? 25?
Yeah. I mean, I've had clients. I mean, I've had crazy cases. Absolutely. Where you're just like, what in the, like, it's not believable. I mean, I had a case once. It was so horrendous. Even the detective was like, I don't believe this story. And the more he kept looking at it, I mean, it's on the video. It's like, yeah, this is just too crazy for me to even believe. And he started checking into stuff. And it was like, wow, it's true. And I mean, this was a case where the young woman, I mean, she was giving interviews to the newspaper. She was on CNN. I mean, it was a horrific case, you couldn't have made it up. And you're just like, wow, like this stuff goes on. And, you know, I've told people, you know, growing up, you're like, I thought it was only our house that was completely dysfunctional, right? Right. No. What I've learned in my 50 years is it's complicated. Everyone has a story, but there's some crazy stuff that goes on out there in the world. And you think, no, this can't happen. And yeah, it does. And that's why nothing surprises me. No matter how crazy or outlandish one thinks it could be. Yeah, it's possible. I mean,
I think within Lori's case, like that day that Charles died and seeing her, I just can keep picturing her. And I do talk about this on my channel because she's sitting there happy go lucky and she's going, sorry, neighbors, you know, and she's minutes or hours after he died and just the weird, odd behavior. Alex coming out of the house, no blood on him, which is amazing because he was supposedly giving CPR. And I had my husband actually listen to the 911 call. And my husband is a paramedic, mm-hmm. been a paramedic for 16, 17, I don't know how many years. And I just said, just listen to this and tell me what you think. Obviously he's not there, but he gave it a little listen. I'm like, there's no way that guy's giving CPR or he doesn't have a clue, which he did say he didn't have a clue how to do it, but she instructed him. But I just find some super strange things. And he's lightly batting his head. You know, he got hit by a bat, but he's tapping his head a little bit. And there's just some weird, weird things. I mean, wouldn't you think that the cops would be like, wait a minute, this girl's been married to this guy for 11, 13 years or whatever it is. And sure, they've had their differences in the last 6 months, but she legit was married over a decade and she's not shedding one tear over here. That's a little odd. How about Alex? This is a little odd.
You know, it's so much depends on the police officers that arrive on the scene. They make an initial assessment. They form a judgment or an opinion. A good investigator will look at all the facts, won't have any bias, so to speak, at the beginning. And the best detectives I ever seen are like, I don't care, you know, let the chips fall where they may. My job is to collect the evidence, let the prosecutors make the decision based upon that. But so often you see police show up, they make a determination, and instead of looking at the big pictures, they find a suspect or they make a conclusion and then they go back and find the facts to fit that conclusion because frankly, it's easier.
Right. Right.
It's easier. So,
and it's easier now to look back too. At the same time, you look back going, wait a minute, but you know, having a pool party and smiling away, it's a little odd,
you know, but a lot of that stuff can be explained away. You know, people be like, okay, you didn't want to upset the neighbors. You didn't want to upset the kids. You're, you know, trying to keep a happy face, but deep down inside I was, you know, just distraught, but I was trying to put on a good face. I mean, that kind of stuff can be explained away. People act people act differently under different circumstances. You know, you want to see someone act completely differently? Watch somebody who's never testified or hates public speaking sit on a witness stand. Sometimes they'll laugh inappropriately at the wrong times because they're nervous as hell.
And, yeah, that's true.
And so to sit there and say, well, this is the way I would have reacted, well, you can't say because you weren't there. And think about it all the times where there's been tragedy in your life or bad situation. You're like, okay, I got to just think about what's going on. You put on the happy face. I mean, those kinds of things can be explained. So it looks weird, yes, but a good defense attorney going to be able to explain all of that away.
It's true. I guess I'm just really frustrating for them. I mean, you know, even the cops saying, oh, I put them in the car and this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You know, yeah, you can't really say, well, now she's guilty because of that. But I mean, when you look at it, it is, it's strange. So all these things are, I think that's what's fascinating about this whole thing. Here's a woman who doesn't seem to match the emotion of what one would think, like you said.
Yeah, but you know, people react differently. I mean,
that's
I have done so many trials, and normally it is of a delayed reporting on some sort of sexual assault type of case. All right.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone looks at it and says, "Wow, why didn't they come forward sooner? Why didn't they do this?" The DAs bring in their expert witness, you know, a PhD in psychology, and say, this is completely normal. There's no one way that someone reacts to a particular situation. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I get it. You know, you look at it, but when you start talking to the experts, and if Lori Vallow's biggest trouble is, I think she's going to run out of money to put on a defense. But if she had an unlimited budget, I guarantee you, you could get experts to say, there's nothing unusual of that, even if it was allowed to come in. And here's the thing.
Right.
All that stuff, probably not going to come in the case in Idaho. What relevance is that to the abandonment of the children?
That's
none
right.
whatsoever.
Nope.
A jury has to make their decision based upon that. So I get it. Like I said, as a father, as a parent, as a member of the community, you're outraged. Like, produce your children. Why wouldn't you do that? You're doing that. But, you know, the rules of evidence are there to take that emotion out of it, and you only get to deal with what's relevant. And it's only relevant if it goes to prove or disprove the elements of the charge. So I always tell clients, I have to explain it to them because they're always, I'm a good person. I couldn't do this.
Right.
I'm a great person. Well, there's no good guy or good woman defense. All right. 99% of all of my clients are good people. But the only thing we're deciding is the facts as it relates to this. It's like if you know, the old movie reels, you know, they would be on the thing. You could lay out your whole life and you could be, you know, the person that picks up little spiders and takes them outside, gives all your money to donations to take care of little orphans. And then in that whole life, you have this little stretch and that's the only thing that's going to come in. Does it go to prove or disprove the elements of the case? You know, so, well, yeah, I kicked the cops, but, you know, my husband was a drunk and he did this and these cops. That's mitigation. That only reduces the potential penalty. It's not a defense. And that's where I think, you know, so many people get emotional about this stuff is you got to look at it from the lawyer's perspective. The only thing that's relevant is this little sliver. And it could be minutes in your entire lifetime that only matters.
And that's going to be the most difficult thing, isn't it? Because really, what do you have? What do they have for information about the children? Really, the only thing I saw in Hawaii was the lawyer saying, "Well, listen, of course she doesn't want to produce the children because it says right here that if she does, that the kids are going to go into foster care or whatever it was, right?"
Sure, which they would, which probably they should.
So. Yeah. And so if I was, when I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good point. Really. Why would a mom want to say anything at this point? If it's right on there, they're going to be, you know, if nothing bad happened, why would I do that? I'm going to lose my children. So it's a point.
You know,
but
I agree.
It's a point, but really, what else do they have? I mean, the other thing is they were missing for what, 2 months before they actually announced that they're missing. Why hasn't there been, and of course we don't know that because we don't know a lot of the facts, but wouldn't there have been more of a search or a little more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Investigation as to what happened to him?
I mean, an urge to, you know, like
sense of urgency.
More, yeah.
Well, yeah, but as a police perspective, you're thinking, all right, what does a normal kid do at this time? Well, they go to school. Okay. Are they homeschooling? Are they with a relative? They checked with all the relatives. Where are they?
Right.
And like I said, most parents would be like, let me tell you where the children are. They're with Aunt Sally and they're fine. They had to get away. But like I said, it just gets to the point where the prosecution shouldn't overcharge this case. I mean, they have to show abandonment.
Right.
You know, you start bringing in all the other stuff and, you know, a defense attorney is going to say, my God, who wouldn't want to get these people away from all these nut jobs? It's for their own protection. And I'm not telling them, but I assure you, they're okay. And you get one juror on there that believes it, you know, hung jury, not wouldn't be not guilty, but you have to do it all over again. So, I think they just need to keep it simple. But is the point of the investigation goes like, all right, where do you look? I mean, we're talking Idaho. States
well,
massive.
I guess Yellowstone Park too. Yeah,
you know, flying over it. There's so much land. I mean, it's where do you
a
begin?
A lot of places to hide. There was one pattern I was talking about on my channel. It's just really interesting because I was looking up all these places on the map, and it was started in Gilbert, Arizona, then Springville, Utah, and then straight, like right straight, and then straight above that was Rexburg, Idaho. And I thought, this is so strange, all in a line, right? Just something that, you know, just a little quirk, little something I saw. I thought, that's interesting to me. Not that it means anything, but very interesting.
You know, and each case has, you know, those facts where you're like, huh, doesn't mean, maybe not. Yeah. But, you know, the prosecutors have to stay away from, you know, trying to disprove every theory, in my humble opinion.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
I mean, I swear, I think prosecutors need to keep it simple and, you know, let the defense get up there and use the, you know, the old shotgun approach of I'm going to just try everything and see what something sticks. Prosecutor be like, not relevant, not relevant. You know, the fact of the matter is we can't find the kids. They need to be in school being cared for. We can't find anywhere. Obviously, mom abandoned or neglected them. Keep it simple. That's it. Don't get off on all these other theories. Let Arizona deal with that. Let the AG deal with Tammy. And, you know, like I said, people speculate all day long, but until and if it's charged, it's just speculation. And, you know, who knows what this guy – I mean, and I'm not defending Chad Daybell, but who knows what she told him? I mean, we have no idea. But obviously he's got counsel and whatever he's doing in the sense that I'm not talking to anybody. And
he did slip up a little bit though on the, you know, telling his family that Lori doesn't have any minor children and also that she's an empty nester, but yet he told the authorities that he saw JJ in the apartment 107 in October. Therefore, he would know there's a JJ.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, those are certainly statements that can be used to impeach him if he ever testifies. But guess what? If he doesn't testify, it's not coming in court.
Right.
You have to have a witness. You know, that's the greatest truth-seeking tool ever created is the tool of cross-examination, the confrontation clause. You have a right to confront and cross-examine your accusers. What he, Chad Daybell, said to a police officer or to a family member, and it's not his case, guess what? It's hearsay. It's not coming in to evidence. It shouldn't. Yeah. It's an out-of-court statement by another person than the one who's testifying. being offered for the truth of the matter asserted. You know, the DA said, well, it's not being offered for the truth of the matter asserted. And my response was, well, if it's not being offered for the truth, then it's not relevant. Why would we allow something right. that's not truthful in? So all those statements aren't coming in. I mean, I don't think
maybe.
The Go DAs ahead. Have such a slam dunk that everybody thinks. I mean, I have my own opinion about the case, but the only thing that matters is what you can prove.
Yeah. Well, hopefully maybe Tammy's results will find something. And maybe nothing. Maybe she did die in her sleep.
Yeah, and even so, it's not probably not going to come in the not desertion in this,
yeah.
of the of
yeah no mm-mm.
you know
it's, yeah it's I not understand coming. That
and as it relates to the you know the ex-husband I don't see unless they have some admission somewhere on a paper like wow that was a really great plan we had from. Lori, I don't see how they prove that case because the district attorney has an ethical obligation only to prove a case that they believe that they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a juror. If they right. don't think that they can do that, they ethically are not supposed to bring the charge. I'm just not sure how they do that. Just looking at it from an evidentiary standpoint.
Hopefully she screws up and they do find some documentation of her and Chad. I don't know that they would, but maybe. I mean, she does do a little bit of slip-ups here and there, so maybe.
She does, but she's pretty slick, too. I mean, she's a very sophisticated defendant. I don't know if...
I like how you worded that.
She's
I
very
call her a manipulator, but I can.
Well, she's very sophisticated in the sense that she, you know, is kept quiet and just like, hey, but don't have nothing to say. Prove it.
That's exactly it. That's exactly her little smile out there. And I think that's the complete opposite of Letitia Stowe. Complete opposite. Like, I think those two, they still have the manipulation tactics, but they do it in very different ways. Lori stays silent. Letitia sings like a bird.
Yeah, I think Letitia Stowe in the, you know, obviously the death of Gannon, just not... a very sophisticated defendant, you know, shows up to do a police interview with her notes, her prepared statement. You know, when they advise you of your rights, one of the things they tell you is, we'll give you an attorney free. I mean,
right?
Arizona v. Miranda in the States is this, it's created by the courts. It didn't exist in common law, but it said, we're going to give the defendant every opportunity to shut your mouth, to exercise your constitutional rights. One of those rights is giving an attorney. And we'll even give you a free one if you choose to do so.
Right.
But yet so many people don't. And they think, well, if I don't talk, it's going to make me look guilty. And I've told – guess it's like once again – it's better to look guilty than be found guilty is what I've had to tell clients right. over the years. And I know that, you know, that's not what most people want, but, and I've, you know, so we have, you know, Letitia Stowe going in a prepared statement. They, you know, advisor Miranda writes, and she talks, and she, okay, and what people don't get is, like, somehow they think that that statement, well, I'll just be able to change it later. No, you're locked into that. I mean, I've had people give statements, many and then they statements. Change their story, and I will beat them up for an hour on the witness stand of the previous statement. You know, and basically they'll be such a liar that no one would believe them, you know, even that their own name, what their own name would be at the end of it.
I've been dying to ask you this question. Okay, so let's say you are the defense attorney for Letitia Stowe and you get all this information coming across your desk, right? And you're reading through it. What is your first thought and or comment that comes out of your mouth?
My first thought would be, ooh, sounds expensive. you know, because, and I remember I had a conversation with a judge once, and, you know, the most obvious cases, you know, where it's on video, it's right in front of you, those yeah. are the most expensive cases because you have to get very creative to do that. You know, find experts, things like that that can help you. But I'd be like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good. You know, and you know, I probably want to go talk to my client and say, hey, here's the pile of evidence that they have. You know, you need to help me explain this away. What were you thinking at the time so that we can try to explain this? All right. Is it reasonable? Is it not reasonable? And the most important thing is you have to go ask your clients, what's your goal?
Yeah.
And if it's, I didn't do it, I would spend the rest of my life in prison, but I didn't do it, the truth's going to come out. Okay. Or if it's, hey, I did it, just get me the best deal you can, I'd be happy with that. Or let's set it for trial and see if we can get, you know, a better deal. You know, do everything you can, but if not, maybe I'll take something in the end. I mean, you can have the whole gamut of people, but the biggest thing is, you know, what is the client going to do? You know, she's looking at a life sentence. All right. And I've had those cases where you're just like, I would like to buy one good fact for $100, please. You know,
yeah. And a vowel.
Yeah. Like,
how about an extra vowel for Eduardo?
Yeah. It's like, I'd like to buy one good fact, Your Honor. I've had those cases, but there's been no offer. It's what they refer to. The DA will come to you and say, yeah, this trial is a gort. And a gort means guilty or trial. So guilty or trial. Plead guilty or we're going to trial. That's it. Just no plea bargaining. Plead guilty to the lead charge. Okay. Well, I can get that by going to trial and losing. So you'd have to tell the DA, I'll see you in court. And sometimes you get nothing. I've had cases where cross-exam, you know, any cross-exam? No, Your Honor. All good. Nothing. And you just kind of sit there and take your lumps and make it prove it and try to create air on the record. Object, object, object. If anyone's ever done a trial with me, objection. You know, officer, how long have you been with the police department? Objection, relevance. Well, I'm going to, Your Honor, it's improper bolstering. He's not an expert witness. He's a lay witness. Testify what you saw. I don't care that you've been a police officer for 20 years. What relevance is that?
Right. Oh,
well, we're going to allow it in. Okay, well, officer, since we brought up your history, let's talk about the errors you made over the last 20 years since the DA wanted to bring it up. People, I mean, they just don't
get it. You
want to
go down that rabbit hole? We're going down the rabbit hole.
That's the problem. It's like, you know, it's like they overtry the case. Well, he's a police officer. And I'm telling you, when I started this, you know, being a defense attorney, police officers, it was still that era of, they show up to court, they got their shiny badge on, their firearm, they adjust up there. Oh, hold on, my firearm's here. And whatever they said was golden. That's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
I just did an assault on a peace officer case. It was, I guess, late last year, where my guy was doing nothing. The passenger, next thing you know, he's getting beat up. And the body cams go out right at the same time. And I had these officers on the stand. And I'm like, well, if you didn't throw the first punch and my client didn't throw the first punch, it must have been your partner, right? Well, I know it wasn't me, so I guess it's possible it was him. Next officer comes in. Well, if you didn't throw the punch and my client didn't throw the punch, then obviously your partner must have thrown the first punch, right? And, you know, you're covering for the – and jury hung. So, I mean, police don't have that halo over them anymore because they're human. And like we said, there are some great police officers out there. I will be the first to admit it. There are some good ones. 99% of them are really good. But the problem is they never get rid of that 1% that is bad because they think, well, if we throw him under the bus, you know, they'll come after me next. So they fight to the bitter end. You know, we had a case here where just recently an officer was fired 10 years ago for beating somebody's head against a sidewalk with his foot, completely uncalled for, and going through all the processes, he gets his job back 10 years later. He's going to get back pay of almost $1 million.
What?
Because even though, you know, he's been fired, the chief said he was a bad cop. But some administrative civil service board said, yeah, we're going to give him another shot 10 years later.
Wow.
And like I said, most cops are really good. They're honest people just doing their job, you know. And a good cop will tell you, like, man, I don't have to work on framing people. you know, if you ever seen the dumb criminal of the day portion of my show, that's what people deal. That's what people deal with every day. I mean, I asked the cop once, like, do you hang out at bars and get DUI? No, I it'd be unethical for him to do that, and they'll tell you that we don't do that. But it's not like we're, you know, have to frame somebody to get them, you know, pulled over for a DUI. They're usually driving poorly, and it goes from there. So
I like your little portions on the dumb criminal contestant of the day.
Yeah, I mean,
it used to be of the week, wasn't it?
We were doing it the week, and then it was the day, and now we got the winner for the week. I mean, but you can't make this stuff up. The guy depositing cocaine at his bank the other day.
Oh, I know, I heard that one. I don't know. That was a mistake. I don't know.
I mean, that was basically what he told the police. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
So, even back to we were talking about Letitia there for a minute, where it comes across your desk. Wouldn't you be like, okay, wait a minute, 2 days ago you said this, but now you're saying there's a guy that's actually you were assaulted by, but sorry, what was his name? Oh, Eduardo?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you spell that? Does he have a last name? No? Oh, wait a minute. He changed into a different name? Describe that guy. And oh, you gave him the key code to your garage?
Yeah, when that story came out that, you know, the guy had broken in, done all these bad things to her, and then, you know, I mean, as a defense attorney, you're like, you have to tell the client, guess what? This is going to come in because it's a statement by you to the police, and, you know, that's going to be like, all right, here's version one. You know, I can see the DA. Version one, version two, version three. I think she's got four or five.
She was better off to stick with Monday.
Yeah.
Instead of the other stuff. And what are your, so you have lots and lots of experience. So I'm curious about this affidavit that was written that said about likely came home. He likely came home and they talked about the video, in the afternoon. And they talked about the video, you know, being several homes away and they didn't have him returning, but he likely came home. Can you explain a little bit about that? Was that, you know, checkbox kind of, okay, well, that has to be the murder scene. He likely would have had to come home if this was that and checked all the boxes, to ensure an arrest? Or because this is like the common debate. I don't know if you get that on your channel, but this is the common debate. You know, did he or didn't he come home?
You know, when an officer, detective, FBI agent submits an affidavit for an arrest warrant, they have to lay out all the facts. They have to lay out the facts that they know, all kind of good and bad. If they leave out important information, they can get in trouble for that because you can't make misrepresentations to the court. So when they're saying he's likely that he came home, I mean, really what he's saying is, we don't know, we don't have any evidence, but we believe that to be true based upon the evidence, kind of a reasonable inference drawn from that.
Right.
And he's saying that so that, for lack of a better term, if it turns out not to be true, they can say, well, it was the theory that we had at the time and we changed it. Because if he states with certainty that something happened, say at the house, or maybe it didn't, he, just like a defendant, when you say something, you're locked into it.
Right.
And a detective writing that and he gets it wrong, you know, the defense attorney is going to beat him up all day long about him getting it wrong. And it goes directly to the completely. Yeah. You know, they're supposed to say in the affidavit, the police are supposed to say what they know. And if there's evidence that says that the defendant or soon to be defendant didn't do it, they have to put that in the affidavit as well. Now, most of these affidavits, the judges review them quickly and they rubber stamp them. It's just, you know, the judge is looking at, well, I'm going to trust you. And unless and until that judge gets burned because of a particular police officer, they take them at their word. You know, they're police officers. Why wouldn't they believe them? But, you know, there's sometimes a lot of eagerness where they think, we got to get him. We think this is it. It kind of goes to that Here's the good investigator, bad investigator. Let the chips fall where they may. That affidavit was rather lengthy. They conducted a lot of work. Whether it took place at the residence or not, that he likely returned. You know, in all honesty, it's not even really that big of a deal. I mean, at trial, all I simply have to show is that he's deceased.
Right.
And
this was
whether,
written before he was found.
And exactly. And whether he was, it took place in the state of Colorado. That's really all I have to show. County of El Paso, state of Colorado. But the district court, they're a court of general jurisdiction. So a murder could have occurred anywhere in the state of Colorado to be prosecuted there.
Right.
You know, kind of a situation. I mean, I think everyone's be very curious to see what the autopsy results determine down in Florida. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that couldn't have been me. You know, she could say, I didn't like the kid. You know, maybe I sold him to a bunch of gypsies or something, but I didn't kill him. And yeah, I made some really dumb remarks because I got scared and never been in this situation. You never know what really happened, even as a defense attorney.
True. Even though he's found deceased, I hope that he comes with a lot of evidence, if that makes sense. That enough to know the answers is what I hope.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I think it's unclear. You know, the first was it was found by a construction crew or a road crew or something, but it almost made it sound like it was in a ditch. And so I don't know if there was like water or anything around that particular area.
It was almost like if you're driving, you'd think possibly that you're still over it. And it was staggered on the highway or whatever you guys call it. But it was something that a lot of people were saying, unless you knew this area, you wouldn't be on this stretch of road. Unless you're more familiar with it, because it's not the main highway. It's off, if that makes sense. And it was staggered. So you'd have to actually park, cross the road on the lower level, and then put him over the guardrail into this, where the rocks are. The upper one, you could either park on the left or the right. There's space. And then you could just go over. Now, the thing is, with a 90-pound person in a suitcase, it's not an easy feat when you're only 5'4" and you have to lift this, you know, like it's disturbing. It is disturbing. How it happened, and how he ended up in Florida. I did say this woman is a distancer, in my opinion. I knew she'd scatter everything everywhere from just what I'm seeing of her and her little manipulations. I think, like you said earlier, they think they get away with a lot, or they have in the past, in the little minor scale, that in this bigger scale, they think, well, I don't get it. Why isn't anybody believing me? Like, what? Why am I being even looked at? I'm 100% confident that I'm not guilty, you know?
Yep. Somebody else's fault. Yes. I get it. And I too hope, you know, for, you know, his parents' sake that there's something there, you know, DNA wise, or some sort of physical evidence that will explain it away. But based upon the filings that the district attorney did, where they did the sentencing enhancers, basically saying that a deadly weapon was used. You know, first, I think it was a bat, then it was a, I think it was a bludgeon, and then firearm, and then stabbing or something along those lines. It's like, well, which one was it? I mean, do you know, or was it all three?
Was that a CYA thing too, as well? Because in the affidavit, it said because of the blood spatter that they said it was consistent of da 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 da. They had listed the three. Is that a cover your butt type thing, or?
Yeah. I mean, you know, blood spatter. you know, obviously they said it was soaked in the affidavits, the carpet, and things of that nature. They found some items that had been, you know, blood splatter that didn't get cleaned up.
Yeah.
But it didn't sound like particularly there was that much that they could say that would be consistent with anything. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure. And reality is, you know, they've added those new charges, but we haven't seen any new information right. that supports that just yet. So
right.
I'll be curious to see what they know. I mean, once again, the prosecutor can't file it unless they know. I mean,
right.
I hope it wasn't all three or any other fortune, you know, whatever
right.
it was. So, you know, you just never know. So, someone's walking. So, yeah, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I can't come soon enough to find out.
Well, it's going to get delayed even.
I know.
I mean, I think I can't remember. I know we know the day. I should know it off.
June. It's in June. June.
Yeah, like June 8th, I think, something like that.
8th, something like that. Yeah. So it's a ways away.
My guess is it'll get continued yet again. Just, you know, interesting case. I hope it moves along quickly. But
what's your gut say she's going to do?
Oh, I truly believe that it will go to trial. You know, Colorado, and if I remember correctly, well, actually, her case would still technically qualify for the death penalty here in Colorado because it's any case that occurred after, I think, June 1st here. But it doesn't have the aggravators that would warrant a death penalty. So, you know, I'm sure the offer is going to be, you know, life. You go to prison for the rest of your life. It's going to go to trial. You know, I still am shocked that the Chris Watts case, where he just said, yeah, I'm going to plead guilty. Like, to go to prison for the rest of your life? I mean, as a defense attorney, I would have been like, I mean, it's your call, but you're doing this against my advice.
Right.
You just don't do that. It's just not something that's
it's odd, unheard wasn't of. It?
I mean, I've seen it done, but usually it's I'll plead guilty, but you don't charge my son or my daughter or my wife.
Right. Oh,
and they get a deal, so to speak. But to
that's interesting.
Just say I'm going to plead up straight up guilty. I mean, okay.
I think I saw one of your videos and this was a while ago and you were talking about this case. And I think you said something to the effect of never in my 25 years, I've ever seen a father come into the police station when somebody's being
interrogated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's a juvenile matter. I mean, they were working this guy so hard. I mean, they knew they had him. He was a suspect from the beginning. And they were just trying to do everything. And guess they knew that the video was rolling. And they was like, well, we hadn't got anything out of him yet, so send in Dad.
Scott, when I saw that driveway video on the second on Letitia, I just did one of these, like another driveway video. And when she did her interview with her head turned back, I truly believe she took a page out of CW's, you know, story and went, ooh, I'm not going to do it that way. Let's just turn my head. And so they can't see what I'm doing. And I have to get to Florida. So if I'm going to be interviewed, please, Spencer Wilson, just film the back of my head.
Yeah. And I'm certainly not condoning this in any way whatsoever. But the Chris Watts case is the textbook example of what not to do if you've done something wrong.
Right.
I mean, first, let me go to the media. You know, let me cancel the school. I mean, it's like, why would you think you have to do that? You know what I mean? He just made the worst decisions. And I mean, it's good because he got caught. I mean, it's good for justice. But
yes.
If somebody were to look at that and say, wow, he's not a smart guy. I mean, he's very simple minded. They kept saying, oh, he's like an engineer. Yeah, no, he's not. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed at all.
He made some mistakes. That's for darn sure. In many ways.
Yeah. I mean, obviously killing your wife and children is obviously huge mistakes, but he is the classic example of if you do something to, you know, don't replicate him. That's for sure. I mean, it's just a,
well, that's why I think she did that. She's like, better not do that. So instead, I'm just going to turn my head, because that's going to be the smarter decision and nobody can see my face and how I act. And then I'm going to buy a fake polygraph to make sure I put the important questions on there and make sure I pay for it. And oops, couldn't get one.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'll be honest with you, I had never heard of, and it shouldn't surprise me that you can get a fake polygraph, but like, I just never thought, because here's the thing, why would you think that that would be taken seriously? You think a cop can't pick it up and say, who did this? And even if I have a polygraph and my client passes it, and I go to the DA, look, he passed it, I passed it, any DA is going to say, all right, that's great. I need all the charts because I want my expert over at the sheriff's department to review it and see if it's credible. Or why don't you have your guy come in and do another one? I mean, I hate to say it, and it's good because it helps justice move along. But most people are just terrible about it. And you know, the fact that she even would have thought that that would have been a good thing, and that they couldn't track your search history on your computer. It's like, what year are these people living in?
I know, but you know, she had her little hands in everything. She watched the videos, she was in Facebook groups. And the beautiful part about that is when the police officer, when the authorities start shutting her down and don't say anything, she starts going, a little too quiet here, I need to sing. So she would watch videos. A couple hours later, she'd be responding almost to these videos going, ooh, yeah, I got to talk about the sock, so I better do this. And I got to talk about why there's blood on my car, so I better say Gannon cut his foot and bandaged him up. He was good to go. Yeah. So now that takes care of that. Now I have to go, okay, oh, Linda from It's a Crime is talking about this, so I better go on there. You know, as an example, she watched them all. And I better go talk about that, so that covers my butt. And that's what it seemed like she was doing through the whole thing.
She should have spent her time more wisely.
And this Eduardo Scott, like, honest to God, when I saw that, I was like, I can't even, because I, you know, do stuff on the affidavit, on little parts. I steered clear for that for the longest time because I was like, it is so absolutely absurd. I can't even, you know? Which story is it, Letitia? We're on number one on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday's different. Wednesday afternoon, Al gets four different versions. Which one is it? And so I couldn't even go into it because it made me angry and laugh at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous.
No, I agree. It's going to be a problem for the defense for sure. I mean, the prosecutor's got to be saying, next version? I mean, it's just gonna, it's.
Well, didn't you say in one of your videos too, you were talking something that the defense was filing some stuff. And I remember you saying, whew, if I was the defense attorney and I was coming and throwing some things, you might want to do a little better job on that or something to that effect. I remember you saying,
oh, I think that was the pretrial publicity and that was going on. And, you know, the judge just kind of said, this is the biggest piece of crap motion I've ever seen in my life. You don't say, right? Who did it? How am I supposed to do anything about it? Unless you've got some proof of, you know, some government employee turning this information over, what do you want me to do about it? I'm not going to become an investigator. I'm a judge. You know, it's not his job to do that. So it was
right. That was the Kansas thing. That's why it was the Kansas thing. And also when Gannon was found and whatnot. I remember that. I loved what you said about that. I was like, that was awesome. Yeah.
So what other cases are you following right now that interest you?
The major ones really is Lori and Letitia. I've done a few different ones, some Canadian ones. There was the big Nova Scotia one that happened on the 18th of April, where the 51-year-old guy basically killed 22 people.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing in Canada. Now, the interesting thing is in Canada compared to the States, I can get way more information on the United States crimes than I can in Canada. They don't show a whole lot. And
it was barely covered here. All we get is coronavirus coverage on the news channels. It was barely, I mean, it was a little blip, which normally would be a big deal. Because Canada is not exactly known for that sort of thing. It's more of an American thing.
It's, right.
Unfortunately,
it's a big thing.
That's why, you know, Americans are known around the world, but it's,
Yeah, I covered one, Vanessa Guillen, who's a soldier who went missing in Fort Hood. And that was a couple of weeks ago. I just did it the other day, but I went back to the Delphi murders and brought that up. So, I mean, it really, that one's interesting, super interesting. 3 years gone by, still hasn't been solved. What was weird about that is you have the video of him, you have the voice of him, and they believe he's in town, but nobody needs seems to know who this guy is. And, you know, you have 3,600 people in a small town.
I think they know who their suspect is. They just can't prove it. And they don't want to come out and say that somebody did it because they don't want to get themselves sued if they're wrong.
Yeah. I think this guy will do it again, though. In my opinion. It's possible. It's possible.
It's very possible if it hasn't already happened.
And
that may not have been the first time that this, that, you know, this person, you know, did something like this. He may have done something before that. You know, I mean, it's getting tougher and tougher, but I mean, people just disappear, you know, and most people, if they don't have any, one that cares about them, I mean, people, they just go away. It's scary.
Yeah, the stats are absolutely crazy. Since I've started the channel and just seeing how many people, I just keep saying, man, there's not enough time in the day to cover how many people are actually going missing. You know, like, and so when I pick, you know, the cases, a lot of times it's the ones that are being most talked about that I could get information, right? I'm sure you understand the same. Like same for you. It's one of those things right now. There's not a lot going on in the real world except for Corona. And people love Lori Vallow. They love to hear about it. The same with Letitia. I think Gannon won everybody's hearts, and mine included. And so I made a promise to him that way and to myself going, I'm not going to stop doing Gannon videos. So, but it takes a lot of time, as you know, to do the channel, right? So,
it does. I think a lot of people, I mean, you obviously have had a lot of success very quickly. Congratulations. I mean, at that pace, you'll be passing me by any day now. And I hope that happens. I mean, I want everybody to succeed.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think people realize how much time goes into it. It's not just, oh, it's 20 minutes on the camera. There's a lot of work that goes into it. The meantime, the editing, I don't know if you do your own editing, but that's
I do. I need a Kyle though. Kyle?
I know. Kyle makes things very easy. Because that's the biggest, most time consuming part of it. I think is the editing, you know, the uploading, the processing. It's super
tough. It's the whole thing. That's what I say to people. Like a 20 minute video isn't just flicking on the camera. It's, you know, all the research before and then getting on the camera, then doing the editing, uploading thumbnails, you name it. And then, you know, making sure it's a good video because you want people to keep watching and you want them to watch as long as possible.
Yeah. And, you know, we try to do a daily show, so it's...
I know. I haven't done... Well, in the beginning, I did quite daily, but so it's usually about five videos a week, 5 to 6. But, yeah, I mean, kudos to that, man. Like, I see you going every day, and it's awesome. I'm super happy for you. Like, the 100K, I'm just like, yes, come on, by the weekend.
Well, maybe now I can get some respect at YouTube and actually have somebody respond to my email versus some sort of robot... artificial intelligent response that I get, you know, was this helpful?
Oh,
no.
I mean, have you used the chat feature?
Yeah, but it's,
I completely understand.
I mean,
I understand. Please refer to this document. I've already read the document.
Yeah, here's a policy, you know, and if you talk about true crime, I mean, I don't know how if you get demonetized, we get demonetized on nearly every video. We had one the other day, I think it was almost 100,000 views. They decided after 90,000 views that it was appropriate. So,
I
mean, not that I'm going to quit my day job, but it's like, it just is so frustrating.
It is.
And then, you know, one will be monetized and It's like we talked about the same thing.
Yeah, I think they have a few little words I've noticed that anything with CW is tends to be. So you, maybe Kyle needs to edit part of that, but
I'm not editing anything. We're not going to edit that out.
You know what I mean?
I know her attorneys have contacted YouTube, and everyone's all fired up. So, as long as you're talking about truthful, factual information, no one should be upset about it. That's the facts. Yeah. And, part of my job and what I love about being a defense attorney is I'm the person that gets to talk about the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And if it means passing up, less than $100 or even a couple hundred dollars on a, YouTube monetization, so be it.
Yeah.
What do people have against the facts? Why would anyone be afraid of the truth? And, sometimes the truth doesn't make everybody always look good, even if it in fact is, a victim of a case or a key witness in a case. Well, guess what? That's what comes in a courtroom, and it's the same information that YouTube says is inappropriate.
It blows
my mind. It blows my mind.
It's a tricky genre. Yeah, it really is. It really is. And sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no. Sometimes it's like, well, let me check. You do a manual review. They come back. Yeah, no, still no. And I said, I said to them, well, wouldn't it be helpful to creators if you just say why? Just say why. And then, at least we know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to. I was joking the other day. I was like, oh, we're going to try this. We talked about former media mogul, whatever. I think they still demonetized it. So I was like, they're going to do what they want to do. It's a private company. They can do what they want. Hopefully, eventually, people will say, what do you guys have against the truth? I mean, it's not like we're making stuff up. It's not like we're, hold on, let me adjust my tinfoil hat and, just say, oh, this is just something outlandish. I mean, why are we're not doing that. So it's just very, very frustrating that.
It definitely can be.
And the thing is, when you read the story about, the guys from Google, the one guy came from what's now, the former Soviet Union. And you think he would be completely against censorship because it's not politically correct. And, some people can talk about it, but some can't. We're all equal, but others are more equal than others. It's just ridiculous. So they can do what they want. Fortunately, I have a day job, so I don't have to
rely upon
this. I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd be nice if I made, a ton of money on YouTube, but that was never the reason for it. And so if people are going to him and haw and not say stuff, okay, fine. You can do that. But, the truth is more important.
I think it's a great platform though to get out there. We kind of like, for me, it's almost like bridging a gap. Whereas, you have people on the news talking about it, but you have like this clip, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes long. We only just get the little bitty and you're wait a minute, what's going on in this case? Right. So I feel like when I get on, I take the truth from the documents and I slap it together in a way. I shouldn't say slap it together. You know what I mean? Tons of hours of research. But I also pull in to talk to everybody about it. And I do give my thoughts on it, but my viewers know what my thoughts are versus what the truth is. And so, I'm not going to make anything from thin air, like you said, the tinfoil, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's what you can't. I mean, and that's what, most people do. They make, they base their opinions based upon the information that's available to them. And like I have to tell clients all the time, I'll give you the best advice I can with the information that I have. And when new information becomes available, my advice or opinion may change. The problem I see on a lot of YouTube stuff is people, it's like the investigator that has already made up their mind. They're going to ignore everything that comes in that refutes their theory and just focus on, weird little stuff that like, and if you look at it from my angle, I was looking at it from like, this isn't even admissible. Why are we even talking about it?
It's just, that must be frustrating for you.
It's so frustrating that it's like, why are people talking about it? This will never come into a court of law.
Yeah.
And
I think some people like to talk about that, but you're right. Because even my husband, when I first met him, we would watch something on TV or whatnot. He's like, that is not how you do that. What is, you know, obviously being from a paramedic, and he's going, like, I can't watch these shows, Linda, or these movies, because it's so ridiculous. This is not what happens in real life. So I'm sure for you, it's some things are super cringy in that aspect, but it's sometimes it's good to explore, you know, the things that are head scratchers. That's what I like. I like digging into, wait a minute, if this is the case and this is the truth, then X, Y, Z. Okay, I'm wrong, and I'm okay to say I'm wrong. If I said something and I'm wrong, no problem. And if you have a differing opinion, no problem. Just don't be, you know, keep it classy in the comments. Don't, that's what I say all the time.
I agree. Some of the comments, like, wow. But I was like, all right, I won't take it down. It is what it is. And I think it would give people more credibility instead of just saying, this is what I believe and this is everything that supports it, and I'm going to ignore every other fact.
Yeah,
you maybe get some views, but you look, you know, not you, but people look silly when they do that, because you can't ignore it. It's intellectually dishonest.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
You know, and that's what, you know, like I said, you go to court. What I like about it is, you know, one side speaks, the other side speaks, the judge rules. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You're not always right. You made an argument, you lost. Okay, you move on. Next case.
Yep. It's a perfect example. I did a video on Letitia based on a budget receipt. So the budget receipt said she drove 955 miles on their rental car, and she was charged a full tank of gas. So at the time, I took that as fact. So I created a video based on that fact. However, now with the new affidavit that came out, that is incorrect. So I have no problem saying, look, that video when I made it, that's when I got the budget receipt. That's the fact that I took. And now either it was doctored, right? Or something happened and that's incorrect. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And sure. And then, so give me the new information and what is actually on that car, and I'll go with that. Right.
No,
it's not about being right.
I agree. And that's what most people don't get. Like, is, you know, a case comes in, it's like, okay, here's all this mountain of evidence. Well, then you send your private investigator out and you go out there and you re-interview everybody. Cause I guarantee you they've remembered something. Maybe they weren't comfortable talking to the police. They remembered a different factor. Oh, you should look here. And it may reveal something completely different. And unless you're actually going out there and interviewing something, and don't get me wrong, the internet is great, but it doesn't substitute for talking to the individual that's actually going to come and testify. It really isn't. Is this person going to be a good witness? Are they going to be credible? I mean, those kinds of things. So I totally get it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Linda. It's been a good chat.
Thank you so much for having me on here. Yeah, I had a great time.
Well, congrats.
It's like I know you already, though. It's funny.
Well, no, and I've watched your channel, and I mean, obviously you're doing great. I wish you the most success. Hopefully you get a bunch of subscribers out of this and pass me by, you know, over the weekend. I mean, seriously, I wish everybody, you know, the utmost success, as long as they're, you know, sticking to the facts. And, you know, we'll see. Every time I interview somebody, oh my gosh, she's the greatest, or oh my God, how can you talk to them? So it's
people, I know there'll be differing opinions, but let me tell you, I made that post on my community page with a little teaser that I'm going to be collabing with someone, and people were going crazy. Please let it be Scott. I've been telling him we want you to talk to him, and, you know, over and over. So they're going to freak out when they realize that we're here, and hopefully you can come on my channel as well, and we can do
that'd be great. I'll be traveling, as we kind of talked briefly before we started, next week, but let's do it. You know, I may be sitting around watching experts do something, so I may be sitting around Monday. I'll have my laptop with me.
We'll figure it out. That'd be awesome.
All right,
I'll talk to Kyle about that.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. We'll put a link, you know, to your page, It's a Crime. And like I said, I wish you the best of luck and success in the future. And thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
You too, Scott. Thank you so much. And thanks for your support.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Okay.